Hey, you want that to go?
Our first news takeout comes from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where, figuratively speaking, the lifeblood of the country, foreign remittances going to Haiti, make up as much as 30% of that country's gross domestic product. The lifeblood may be returning. Money has been building up from relief operations, but they haven't been able to open the financial spigots to Haitians who have been lining up to collect money since the earthquake. But Pooja Bhatia, freelancer for the Wall Street Journal, was in a money transfer agency yesterday. Is the money beginning to flow, Pooja?
The money is getting out. It's kind of a remarkable story how this bank, Francophone, which does a lot of money transfers for especially for poor Haitians, managed to get the money to pay out, the cash to pay out the remittances. It took a really long time. It involved the cooperation of various multilateral agencies and the U.S. military, which eventually flew a C-17 plane full of cash.
Wow.
On Saturday in a sort of midnight operation.
So is this reassuring Haitians? You were, you know, standing in line talking to people. I imagine there's lots of opinions about where things should go from here.
There are a lot of opinions. I hear a debate often about what role Haitian leaders and leaders from the United States or the international community should play in the future of Haiti. Even before the earthquake, I heard from Haitians that what Haiti needed most of all was a president who was not Haitian.
Really?
Since the earthquake, I've heard more and more of that.
So, Pooja, let's break that down. Is that a statehood scenario, wanting to be annexed by some country, maybe even the United States, or is it more like a Peru's experiment with Fujimori, getting someone radically different to run the place?
It could be either. I mean, Haitians just generally say that 200-plus years of governance has not helped anyone in the country, and that the corruption is endemic to the political system. Or maybe it's a function of history, but it's just a really, really difficult thing to get around for them.
Well, cynicism, history, in the midst of the rebuilding there in Haiti. Pooja Bhatia, freelancer for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for joining us from Port-au-Prince.
Thank you.
And now to Arizona, a rare snowstorm emergency on Navajo and Hopi land there. Rescue teams are battling mud, 6 foot deep snowdrifts, and some pretty brutal conditions that have killed livestock in their tracks. To reach some people that were isolated by last week's winter storm in northeastern Arizona, joining us now is Jillian Ferris-Cole, reporter and Morning Edition host at KNAU Arizona Public Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, John.
How many people are isolated there? How many people are they trying to reach?
Well, there's since the Navajo and Hopi nations are pretty remote, and the Navajo Nation is a 27,000 square mile nation, it's hard to assess exactly how many people are stranded. It's in the hundreds, if not thousands. And of course, the problem now is melting snow turning to mud on dirt roads in a very, very rural area.
Do we know if any of the people they're trying to reach are injured?
Well, there are no official reports of that. However, there is the Arizona Incident Management Team is running an emergency relief effort out of the nearest city to the Navajo Nation, which is still about 20 miles away. They are trying to get out to people. They have not reported any injuries, but there are people who are in desperate need at this time of drinking water, of food, of even shelter in some places. Their homes have been damaged to the point where they can't live there. And, of course, with the roads the way they are, they can't drive either.
I understand that in some places the snowdrifts are up to 8 feet deep. Do they have any idea when they might be able to clear some roads?
Well, we are still waiting. The state has declared a declaration of emergency, of course, and that has been approved by the president. So now we are eligible to receive the federal funding and relief effort coordination. However, it's happening. It's a process. We're not sure entirely how long this is going to take. We're still digging out in Flagstaff, which is a very established city with paved roads, things like that. So you can only imagine in a very remote place that spans three different states. It's going to take a lot of coordination to get out to people in remote areas. And as there are not telephones or even electricity in many homes, it's hard to tell how many people have been affected out in Navajo and Hopi.
And a number of those residents who are still on the reservation there are elderly.
Yes, that's true. Elderly and many people do not have any form of transportation. So at this point, I'm certain there are a lot of people just waiting for help.
Okay, Jillian Ferris-Cole is the reporter and Morning Edition host at Arizona Public Radio, KNAU, out of Flagstaff.
And the mud out there is serious business, that's
yeah.
for sure. For our last takeout, we're giving you the last word, or more like six last words. All this week, we've been asking what you think the State of the Union is in advance of the President's State of the Union address tonight.
This is Brad from Oklahoma. My State of the Union, partisanship and fanaticism continue to divide.
Hello, this is Cheryl Aldrich from Randolph, Massachusetts. We are all in this together.
Thank you, Cheryl. On our website, Laura had a great idea. I posed this to my 10th grade students. Here's what they came up with. Big mess, mass chaos, cleaning time, bad economy, no one is acting. Pick up our mess, become one. What the hell is going on? Lazy get fat, smart get strong. 10th graders.
That's pretty interesting. It's thanks to all of you. Keep those coming, by the way, your six-word State of the Union addresses. On anything, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. And we're also very interested in getting your take about the President's State of the Union speech after you've heard it tonight. Go to our website, thetakeaway.org, and let us know after you've heard the speech.
You know, I can't imagine getting 10th graders to talk that much, let alone do the six-word thing.
Getting them to be quiet.
Really? Well, that's interesting. All right, we're looking for your nominations on who's having a good week and a bad week. Every Friday, we add it up with our friends at The Week magazine. Seems like it's shaping up to be a bad week for Democrats, but what do you think? And who else deserves a nod? Nominate anyone. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Coming up, the Haiti earthquake killed hundreds of thousands, but for every tragic story, a light at the end of the tunnel. We'll listen to a survivor story in just a few minutes.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.